Want to make a podcast? Spotify's got a platform that lets you make one super easily, then distribute it everywhere and even earn money. We like that. All in one place for totally free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters. And here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your cellular telephone or your computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else, those other places that podcasts are heard.
Video podcasts are also available on Spotify. And when you want to take conversations with your fans to the next level, Q&As and polls are the best way to get them talking. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. And best of all, it's totally free. Zero catch. We've been using it ever since we started How Long Gone. And ever since I discovered Spotify for Podcasters, I feel like having the option of turning off the Q&As and the polls on the user dashboard has really helped boost my creativity and take it to another level. I highly recommend giving it a try. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started.
What's good, baby? It's your boy, Chris Black, tapping in with Big TJ. What's going on?
Tap, tap. Nav voice. I am just potting it up. I've had a great day. We've been busy working behind the scenes on lots of other stuff. I was pumping it up. I did a fat-ass kettlebell routine. I got a haircut. I just took a shower. I'm feeling A+, and I need to feel A+ for today's pod.
That must be nice. That's great. I love... I should try to maybe work out right before I pod so I can have that post-pump flow of... Because I just had a can of mud, which I thought was good, but maybe a workout combined with a can of mud and a shower would be the ultimate combination.
Chris, funny you say that. You know, why not have both? Because I just cracked a can of mud right now. I'm starting to run low. I've only got three cans left.
Yeah, I'm running low too. I only have two cans left. Luckily, round two, season two, is coming soon. But I mean, I've been glued to the news today, Jason, because I tell you what, bro, there's some shit happening out there. And, you know, we got President Joe Biden saying everybody's going to have a vaccine by May. We got Texas and Mississippi saying masks are over. You don't need them.
Mm-hmm. Texas, Mississippi. I saw Texas is 100% no masks, 100% capacity allowed at bars and restaurants. Like, there's zero restrictions now in Texas. Is that pretty much it?
That's what it's looking like. And that bodes the question, Jason. Did all of these podcasters actually make the right decision? And should we be the first podcast duo to relocate to Oxford, Mississippi to continue our empire? I think that, you know, because Oxford, Mississippi has a rich cultural legacy. Fat Possum Records is based there. There is a roadmap for us there. So if you want to, I feel like I know some people there, so we could get on out.
What city in Mississippi?
Oxford.
I've dead ass. I've never even heard of that city in my entire life.
I guess that doesn't totally surprise me since I'm Southern. I know some Southern stuff, and you know, you don't, but it's, mm-hmm. it's something that maybe just check out Zillow. I'm sure our money would go pretty far there.
Yeah.
The anchor ad payouts hit a little harder in Mississippi than the high tax rates of Southern Cali.
Yeah, because the anchor bucks here in Glendale, it's barely keeping my family clothed, fed, and matcha'd up. I can barely put matcha on the table, is what I'm saying.
That matcha, I know you got a new dog, and I can't, I mean, that dog is lapping up matcha like it's going out of style, so it's something
to
weird. Think about.
It's weird how much that dog loves matcha. I don't fucking get it. I mean, because it's, a dog, you know, it doesn't seem like a great flavor to a dog, but also this dog, you know, eats rocks, literally, so, you know, that's kind of what matcha tastes like.
Much like its dad, iron stomach.
Oh, Chris, I don't be eating rocks, though. I mean, speaking of iron stomach, I do have an early 5:30 dinner date at the Grove location of Cheesecake Ooh. Factory today, so.
No, TJ. So
Chris, don't worry. I'll be ordering from the Skinnylicious menu. Rest assured.
Oh, well, I would love to know what's on the Skinnylicious menu compared to the, but isn't the big, I mean, I've honestly never been to a Cheesecake Factory, but
you should keep it that way. There ain't nothing for you there.
Don't worry. I was not planning to patronize mm-hmm. that establishment, but isn't the big draw of the Cheesecake Factory the bread?
That is a big draw. Just like when you hit Escuela for your super spreader fiesta with ASAP Bari, You know, you're going.
You already,
you're going there.
I'm blasting cigs with Nast, and I'm rubbing guacamole all over my face.
Right. You're going there for the chips and guac that you're eating because it takes, you know, an hour and a half for your taco to come out. But
not during COVID, Jason. We can't shame these restaurants during COVID. They're doing their best, Jason.
Watch me shame.
If that's the case, then I hope you haven't had a single morsel of food today.
Just black coffee, brother. That's all it is.
You know, something else we should discuss on this podcast today is this kid. His mom is the VP of Nike.
Was.
And he sold he bought $132,000 worth of shoes on her credit card for reselling. And Sleuth TJ, you did discover some photos of this guy standing in front of all the boxes, and he blurs his face out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't too hard to find.
No, of course. We know you're not that smart. But it's this kid. I'm looking at a picture right now. It's him standing in front of, I would say, 300 boxes of Yeezy Boosts, maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
And he is wearing a Lakers jersey with a t-shirt underneath with Dior Jordans, which sounds honestly like a TJ fit if the Jordans came in your size. Am I mistaken?
That is textbook TJ through and through. If I had my means and my affairs in order, that is exactly the type of outfit I would want to be wearing, yeah.
I just feel like the amount of money that can be made with this sneaker stuff, it's still out there. It's still happening.
It's like Bitcoin, you know. It hasn't gone away. It's an annoying thing for older people to wrap their head around, and it's easy for them to make fun of. And, you know, 14-year-olds are making hundreds of thousands of dollars off of it.
So the son's name is Joe. The 19-year-old sneaker pusher named Joe Herbert boasted that his West Coast streetwear company saying in May, we did $600,000. Fam, you're telling me that a 19-year-old sneaker reseller named Joe Hebert got more money than us? This guy's last name is Hebert.
Well, if he made $600,000 in 1 month, then he's making more money than his mom, who's the VP of Nike as well. So, he's a bag chaser like that, because they went from a dual income household to a single, and he's going to have to, you know, pay for his own college fund, I guess.
Great point. I mean, I don't think, I doubt that Joe Hebert,
as a finesser, is he going to be, what colleges will he be attending at, majoring in finessing? I don't know.
Yeah. That's a great question. Do you think that finessing should be added to the curriculum at some higher learning institutions? Because I do.
It could already be there for all we know. I mean, Stanford, I know you listen. Stanford University, I know you listen to this podcast.
I wonder how many college professors listen to How Long Gone. I'm going to say less than we think.
Look, define professor. You know what I mean? In 2021, you know, who isn't a professor is what I'm saying.
Well, this podcast is an education, so it's kind of like, you know.
Education. So, yeah. Well, I mean, it is kind of crazy about Texas reopening, because they're like Mississippi, like, fine. Nobody's really surprised about that. Everyone assumed that they never even wore a mask.
Don't come for MISS, ISS, IPPI like that.
Look, I mean, that's fine. I will come for them. They know it. They like it, probably. It's Mississippi, for Christ's sake. You know what I mean? That is a bridge I will burn, because they haven't figured out how to build bridges in Mississippi yet.
But Texas has been trending this way, much like Florida, the whole time. So that doesn't surprise me either.
Mm-hmm. But I think but Texas is a huge state in terms of population and in terms of just, you know, square footage. So that's like a...
Don't get into your real estate bag.
Look,
I heard square footage, you know, and I got scared.
In real estate terms, Mississippi, it's more of a charming bungalow, whereas as Texas is I don't want to say castle, but, you know, it's at the very least a palatial estate. Of a state.
It's the very least a palatial estate.
But that's going to be huge, you know, because, you know, if Texas does that, I mean, I guess they just did it, and, you know, if they're able...
It kicks in Wednesday. The question I have then is, does South by Southwest digital still happen?
Is South by Southwest too cucked to...
They definitely are. Are you kidding me? Yeah, of course. I mean, luckily, Reading and Leeds are happening in the UK. We've already... We haven't confirmed our main stage performance yet, but it's looking good for us, Jason, just FYI.
Okay, thank God.
I've been on the phone with CAA all morning, but it's looking positive. We're not going to get our full guarantee, but they are providing a helicopter to and from London.
It is COVID stuff, so we're willing.
Yeah.
Well, that is wild. I didn't even think about the South by, you know, I guess it used to be the only reason why I would go to Texas, and now, you know, that's one time that I would avoid going to Texas because it fucking sucks ass now, man. It used to be really fun.
Well, yeah, like most things, it gets ruined by people.
By people and big tech.
It gets ruined by big tech, but...
But is it, you know, is it better or worse than, like, going there, whatever, 15 years ago and, you know, like, getting blacked out on Pabst Blue Ribbon and then seeing, like, Rat-a-Tat DJ while you, like, fall asleep in a
right
gutter? Like, is that better?
It wasn't a gutter, Jason. It was the Omni Hotel. It's actually fairly upmarket for Austin. This is a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Or is it better to, you know, get kicked out of, like, a Microsoft house where somebody's like, so, hey, what do you do?
Microsoft house.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hey,
what do you do?
Come in here. We'll give you a margarita. Check out the new Surface tablet. I think those things are sadly equal and more just a sign of the time.
At least for one of them, people were fucking. No one's fucking at South by now.
Well, they could be fucking, but it's virtual.
Yeah, they're fucking their robots that they had to buy an extra first class ticket for. I mean, who's the joke on at the end of the day?
I'm sorry, sir. Does your robot have a wristband or there's no plus ones? Just so you know. So I wanted to make that very clear. But I do think this is the time for us to talk to our agents about possibly doing a How Long Gone tour of Texas. I think we rent an F-150, throw our SM57s and our H5 handy Zoom recorders in the back, and we just put our boots on one foot at a time like the rest of these Americans, and we go perform where we're not really wanted.
You know, because most tours, it'll be like, all right, we got the big tour bus. You know, that's going to cost a couple hundred thou.
Yeah.
You know, Mountain Dew is going to wrap the whole thing and it'll be fine. We don't need that. We just need Anchor to give us, like, you know, a 3 foot long die cut sticker. We'll put it on the hood of the F-150. Well, that's what? $75 out the door.
Luckily, I am a Enterprise Preferred Rewards member, so I can get us a decent rate on this F-150. I'm not sure if black will be available, and I have inquired. They will not let us paint it half blue, half green, unfortunately, without an extra fee being incurred. So it's something to think about. Maybe white with the sticker, with an Anchor sticker, would be nice.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think that, I mean, I think we could just do that. I feel like we could do this. I don't know. You're kind of the demos guy. You have all the info. So what's our Texas listenership looking like?
Actually, Texas is pretty high. It's kind of, I mean, it might just be because there's so many people there compared to other states, but, you know, it's definitely in the top five of states behind, you know, the obvious big ones, you know, LA, New York, Chicago, et cetera.
I'm getting a little more breaking news, Jason,
oh,
that I wanted to report to you. Michael Sweet of the Christian metal band Striper is concerned that it's just a matter of time before the Bible is canceled. Do you have any thoughts about the Bible being canceled?
Look, I canceled the Bible a long time ago in my heart, brother. But yeah, I mean, the Bible is problematic AF.
It is problematic AF. I couldn't agree more.
I mean, it literally tells you if you're gay, you'll fucking die. So, like, I'm surprised it hasn't been canceled beforehand.
I think the problem is that its readership agrees, you know, so it's kind of tough to rule it out there, you know what
Not
I mean?
Unlike, you know, the Ben Shapiro podcast or something like that.
Exactly. When you're only talking to your narrow scope, you know, it's easy to stay above water. You know, you're treading, but it's something to think about. And if Dr. Seuss can get canceled, then I think it's downright time for the Bible to get the old ixnay.
This feels like a cheap press ploy by Striper. They're always up to these tricks, trying to stay in the headlines.
Oh, these guys are always giving these one-liners to journalists.
Is Striper spelled with a Y, if I recall?
Of course it is. Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, this seems like something, Jason, that could have blossomed on the failing Clubhouse app is what it feels like to me.
Dude, I actually bought my head into Clubhouse a couple days ago. I was like, you know what?
Oh,
just to
do better.
Just to kick the tires and see if there's something going on. And it still is truly... I could not care less about any of the rooms, any of the topics whatsoever. And I know, like, other podcasters and comedians will go on there and make, like, funny troll joke rooms. But, like, I don't know. Even that is not really funny. It's all still bad. All right, at this point, I'm much more interested by NFTs and things like that than fucking Clubhouse.
That makes one of us. I'm not. The only thing I'm interested in is the NRC Nike Running Club or the NTC Nike Training Club. Those are the big N's in my life.
Okay. Well, one of them costs money and one of them can make you a lot of money for doing absolutely jack shit.
First of all, Jason, just so you know, the Nike training applications are actually free.
But at what cost? They take your data. I know Joel Holder takes all that fucking data and sells it.
Joel Holder's crunching my data right now. And the only data I want him to crunch is my fucking BMI. But he's focused on all this other stuff that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Jason, we do have a guest today.
Let's hope so.
Let's hope we have a guest today. The guest today is Pasadena's own Phoebe Bridgers, a Grammy-nominated musician. She's also in the band Boy Genius with How Long Gone favorites Julian Baker and Lucy Dacus, and Better Believing Community Center with Bright Eyes legend, Oklahoma's own Connor Oberst.
If you're listening to this show, you don't really need an introduction of.
Do you think she's working harder than us? I don't.
No, hell no. I mean, she was okay. she at certain points in her life, definitely she's working harder than us. But right now, we're working harder than any musician.
I think so. Well, that's a good
point. We release four albums a week. She's only put out two.
So what you're saying is she's actually lazy, because that's what I'm hearing.
Do better,
Phoebe. And that's an interesting take. Yeah, she's only in 14 bands at a time, but we're putting out three podcasts a week.
Look, I'm just at the very moment, you know, our release schedule and cadence and everything else, it is traveling at a respectable breakneck speed. But, you know, when she's, you know, on a crazy 100-city tour, playing show after show, leaving it all on the stage, you know, that what we do pales in comparison to that.
You know, Jason, I think we're on our way to Red Rocks in 2021, so we have that in common. All right, let's give her a buzz. Hey, Jason, we all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. You're eating at restaurants you don't want to eat at all the time to appease myself and others.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who used your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, their crossword puzzles, just because they're available right now or because they take your slightly sketchy insurance. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance, so literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors very close to you and instantly book appointments with them online. Just like when I'm looking for new shoes on my sites, you can filter specifically, see which doctors take your insurance, located near you, maybe find a doctor that's far away from you for personal reasons you don't want to disclose.
I use ZocDoc, and you should too.
Go to ZocDoc.com/howlong and download ZocDoc for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/howlong. ZocDoc.com/howlong.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Chris and I are going to the country of Georgia in a month or so, and they have a very unique language, and I will be using Babbel to try and just get a little bit of action so I can know how to order my cold brew lattes and things like that in a way that's actually science-based. Don't spend hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Use Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons. They're handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new lingo in as little as 3 weeks.
Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off at babbel.com/howlong, spelled BABBEL.com/howlong. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Babbel.
Phoebe, are you doing a lot of Zooms in your day-to-day?
Yes. Yeah.
Like important business meetings or just like friend hangs?
I mean, it's like everything. Everything now. Fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you guys?
Overall, we're doing pretty well. We're just hanging out in Cali. You know what I'm saying?
Cool. Wait.
You know the vibes.
Yeah. One of you guys is Cali and one of you guys is New York. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that incorrect?
Funny you ask. Yes, but I'm in Cali right now. So we're all on the same time zone. But I'm doing both for a little while, like a true asshole.
Sick. You got to put that in your Instagram bio, the like plain LA, plain NY.
You know, I've thought about that, and I think that that joke would unfortunately not work for my audience. I thought about it, but I've decided not to pull the trigger.
But he is booked and busy overall. But yeah, I'm in Glendale. Chris is in Hollywood, but from New York, and you're in Pasadena, or where are you at?
I live in Highland Park now.
Shit. HP.
Yeah, I know. Up. I'm one of those guys.
Hey, one of you's guys.
We have beef with Highland Park, so I'd love for you to defend it here on this podcast.
It's the new Santa Monica, man. You know?
That's not a good thing, Phoebe.
No. No,
that's
it's
a
not.
Plus? That's a plus?
No. No. I was at the Silver Lake Reservoir a couple years ago, because I my apartment was in Silver Lake for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And I was at the reservoir, and there's that like cute meadow, and I had my dog there. Mm-hmm. And this man with like AirPods in takes them out to go, "Excuse me, ma'am, there's actually no dogs in the park." And I just wanted to be like, "What the fuck? Like, this is like a citizen's arrest mm-hmm. for like having a dog in this fucking park right now." Like, mm-hmm. one, he's a 15-year-old pug dog asleep. Like, mm-hmm. He's not like fucking shit up and like tearing up your fucking lawn, bro. Like, what is your stake? Are you like an investor in the fucking Silver Lake Meadow? Like,
how much money do you have in the Silver Lake Meadow, sir? Yeah. I can see right through you.
Everywhere is Santa Monica soon. I guarantee it. Like, everything is turning into that.
No, I agree. The Silver sure. Lake that I used to live right by the reservoir, and it's just, I can't even do it anymore. The whole city is just a real, it's a bunch of people like that, and you just want to tell them to, hey, screw you, buddy.
Yeah, hey, screw you, buddy. That's what I say to everybody.
That's why my allegiances are to West Hollywood, the original bad neighborhood.
Exactly.
It's just, it's always been bad, and that's why you know what you're getting into.
I feel the same about Pasadena. It's just like old assholes, and they've been there forever. Yeah, West Hollywood is the original. I mean, that was our first Erewhon, right? Like,
good point.
Thank you for saying our.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes,
yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad we can share that together.
Yeah.
But I prefer, you know, Jason and I have been checking out the new Silver Lake location, and the seating is great. I don't know if you've been yet, but it's not the original. I'll say that.
It's better.
Yeah. I mean, I am there like every day, which sucks.
Why does that suck?
Yeah. What do you mean? You're rich. That's cool, I guess.
I'm just bad at grocery shopping, and so I think my gift to myself is just like, it's also a thing to do, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you're just like, I need to leave my house because I haven't left in 3 days. Mm-hmm. And so,
well, what is your go-to beverage? I don't want to pry, but there's something called the Coco Chino that we are big fans of on this show, and I just wanted to know if you had tried it or not.
Here's overheard LA for me.
Break it down, Bridgers.
When I was getting my Dr. Rue tattoo, he told me of the Coco Chino. And so I ordered one next time. And it's fucking sick.
So
it's
sick. So you're pulling out of the Roosevelt Hotel, you type in Erewhon Santa Monica on the Literally. Tesla, and it takes you right there.
Yes. Damn. And I got a Coco Chino.
Isn't it cool being LA and dumb as hell? You know what I mean? It's just kind of
Dude, I'm going to reclaim being boring and stupid. Like, I think they're popular because people like them, you know? Like, you don't mm-hmm. you don't need a new thing.
You're ahead of the curve, because it took us, you know, we figured that out in you know, our mid to late 30s, and you are able to have this breakthrough, you know, earlier in your life. So you're just, mm-hmm. you know, the youth just continue to amaze me, is what I'm saying.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
But I think going to Erewhon every day is a great thing. You know, you're shopping like the French or the European do. You don't have a bunch of frozen
yes,
things. You go to the market, you sniff a fucking pear, and then you figure out what you're going to make that day. It sounds great.
You seem like the kind of chick that just demands freshness, you know? And I think that's what this really comes down to.
If I buy real groceries, I don't know how to be a functioning adult, I think is the answer. Like, if I buy groceries, they'll rot in my fridge, and then I'll feel guilty about throwing them out.
That's right.
I'm like, wow, I spent $300 filling my fridge and I thought I was going to make gnocchi, and I fucking didn't. So I think, you know, spending $15 a day on a smoothie is actually kind of more cost effective than the way.
And also, if you go and you like, I'm just gonna buy like some chips and crackers and pretzels, things to snack on, that's all done in a day for me.
Yes, totally.
After the discovery of the Quinn's gluten-free peanut butter filled pretzels, You know, I'm having to
What
go,
are you
I'm
talking about? Seven... What the fuck are you talking about? What are they called?
All right, so you've had a peanut butter filled pretzel before, right, Phoebe?
Yes.
Crunchy on the outside, peanut buttery on the inside. You love them.
I used to buy them from Costco in a thing that was like I'm making signs with my hands on this podcast right now just for the listeners.
For listeners at home, she kind of mimed a big old tub that you might find at Costco. Yeah.
It was bigger. Big it was tub. Probably bigger than it was in reality, but she was really getting her point across.
No, dude. It's Costco. It's like
when you buy food at Staples, that's what it comes in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so there's a brand called Quinn's and they're gluten-free. They're extra crunchy. I can't stop munching on them. And you should give them a try sometime.
You have more to lose teeth-wise than we do, so you should probably be careful just cuz you're in front of the camera a little more than we are, but the crunch is severe.
I'm so game. Well, we used to have them at the studio, like the regular pretzels. Being gluten-free used to be restrictive. I feel like it helped me eat healthy. Like, it was like, oh, there's one thing I can eat on this menu, or vegan or whatever. And now it's just like, especially with Erewhon, it's like, do you want a fucking cake for breakfast? It's vegan and gluten-free and has no processed sugar. They're getting too smart. Yeah.
So are you vegan and gluten-free?
Yes. That
sounded like a lie.
Because if I'm drunk, I'm just like, is that pizza? Like, 1,000%. Give me that.
Okay. Pick your battles.
Yeah, Jason and I are both early adopters of the vegan lifestyle, and we've since moved on, obviously. But we were more on the animal rights side of things because it was the 90s. And the advancements are staggering. It really is crazy. And I don't think it's, I think it's less fun. There's no search involved anymore.
Exactly. There's no search. But
it's not special.
I really like vegan food, and that's what I stick to the most. I think the gluten-free thing is just like a way to not eat constant carbs. Mm-hmm. And also, like when I smoke cigarettes, I felt this way where I'm like, I'm really tired. It must be the cigarettes. Like, if you take bad shit out of your diet, you realize what is actually just your brain. You're like, oh, I should have slept more because I eat great. Like, oh, I'm just depressed.
So now you can start smoking again, is what you're saying?
Yep. Okay. Exactly. Yeah, just a clean slate for cigarettes is what it is.
Cigarettes are back, though. The Juul is canceled and regular classic cigs, analog cigs are back.
Analog cigs, yeah. It's.
Well, what was your brand when you smoked, Phoebe?
Guess.
I'm going to say Winston's. You started out Marlboro Light, Parliament, and then American Spirit?
There was no progression in that. You were right the first time. That I just
Marlboro through and through.
I could, and Marlboro Lights are fucked up because you can just smoke like six of them and be like, I had a cigarette.
They're the Diet Coke of cigs. You're like, what just happened?
Yeah, exactly.
The La Croix of cigs, perhaps.
I actually think Marlboro Lights are the coolest cig, Jason. If I had to choose a brand,
it's the Everyman cig.
It's a little bit of an Olsen like thing for me. Mm-hmm. I think they've really held that down and made it cool.
Wow, I love that fact that you know.
Phoebe, are you into the Olsen twins?
Yeah, I mean, style icons for me. Like, they just are constantly like shrouded in black, and and they have like, they look like they haven't brushed their hair in like years. I feel like that's my goal. If you want to look rich and famous, like, dress like shit at a fancy place. And so. I really have taken that to heart, and I'll dress really fancy for like house shows because I think it's funny, and then
you'll wear a burlap sack when you're doing the Amex party that you don't tell anybody about.
Exactly. Yeah. We call that getting pretty womaned when you get paid a lot of money to go play like someone's wedding or something. Like, it's pretty.
Getting pretty.
You're like
woman.
Invited, but you're not part of it. You know, like, it's.
Yeah, you're the hired help, but you're also getting paid way more money than anybody else there by far.
Yes, exactly.
It's the dark underbelly of the entertainment business that no one wants to talk about, Jason. You know, if you wanna fly me to Dubai for an oil baron that has some questionable backgrounds, and the money is right, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'll DJ in Saudi Arabia. Fuck it.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, these opportunities aren't going to be there forever. You have to take them when you're hot. You know, you got to strike while the iron's hot.
You got to take them when you're hot. Exactly. I know. I'm not going to be hot forever. I've got to be hot for money for like 10 more years, probably.
You're damn right.
You know, and that's pushing it.
And then you're going to have to start podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Then it all crumbles and you'll have a podcast where you make significantly less money and you're more embarrassed at all times.
All right. So Phoebe, we're vegan. We're not eating gluten. We're not smoking cigs. What vices do you have nowadays?
I mean, I said I go to Erewhon like once a day.
I think buying healthy food, I don't know if I would call that a vice. It's a vice, but it doesn't squeeze too hard.
Yeah, unless they sell cocaine at Erewhon, that doesn't count. So you're going to have to find something better.
They're like 2 years away from that, I guarantee it.
Gavin Newsom's trying to push that bill. 2024, totally. we need to sell coke totally. At Erewhon.
What the fuck are my vices? My vices are like really disturbingly long walks. like mentally ill walks.
Okay.
What? No, we need a step count. We need a time. Obviously you're listening to How Long Gone on those walks, mm-hmm. but like what else are you listening to?
Lots of podcasts. I love Reveal. I love Hidden Brain. I've been listening like lots of nerdy Invisibilia and 99% Invisible and
hell yeah,
like just nerdy, just brain.
All the legacy damn. NPR head jerking ass podcasts.
Off. Yeah,
no, those are all great ones. I used to
head ass podcasts a lot. Yeah,
I used to go hiking. I used to go hiking at Griffith Park, listen to Hidden Brain, and be like, "That's it. I figured out life,
yeah.
bro.
All I have to do is be motivated in this one specific way." Yeah, it's got. I like that it's so. That everybody seems so sweet because it could so easily be like Elon Musk eats a raw egg every morning and that's what you have to do. Like, it's just not that.
Totally.
It's like, it's a fun psychology podcast.
So you're going on long, long solo walks. Like you're going until the AirPods die head ass walk is what you're saying.
Oh yeah. AirPods constantly dying.
Are you dressed for like sport? Or are you wearing your regular clothing?
Dressed for sport. If I dress like a tech mogul, the things that I let my close friends see me in are so embarrassing. Like, it's not just like, ooh, I'm wearing my sweats. It's like, I'm wearing my Lululemon set and a top bun and like
hell yeah.
holding my smoothie like this. Like, again, hand signals on a podcast, but
this sounds cool to me. I don't see an issue because that's kind of how I let Jason see me. So I think we have that in common,
but that's just more of like a dude style thing. Like, like streetwear, like you know, fucking.
Do not say that's a triggering word on this podcast. Our audience just had a full meltdown.
I don't think I've ever seen anyone so pained to say that word out. Just the look on your face when you said the word streetwear is just like, oh, pure just disgust.
Pure disgust.
It. Yeah.
I think the world is ready for athleisure bridges, though. You know, it's fine.
I try to make it like health goth. Do you remember that whole shit?
Oh, I definitely remember health goth.
Oh yeah. I thought you were going to go with, I thought there was going to be some sort of like puffy vest in the mix when you said tech mogul, but I guess that's a bridge too far.
There is. it's called Ministry of Supply and they make a heated coat that I love. I don't need it in LA. I don't need it in LA, but I just had it.
Is it Bluetooth?
You know, the fucked up thing about this fucking coat is that if you put your phone in the pocket, it'll charge. So
Phoebe, no, this is bad. This is bad.
Phoebe,
is
the major label code. Deal changed you, bro.
It really
is charging.
You switched up.
I know.
Do we have some Hokas on the feet? Or are you a Nike girl? What is it?
Nike. I have a VaporMax black Nikes. Love, but I used to have disintegrating, just like right out the fucking store Nikes that like didn't have shoelaces anymore because I wore them so much. And I feel like I've stepped off my game slightly, but that's like my mostly costume. Mm-hmm. That's mostly my costume.
Yeah, that's kind of everyone's mostly costume in LA.
Yeah.
If I get recognized in it, I like want to kill myself because it just is like, I'm not the character. I'm at 365. I did not prepare to be perceived today.
No, we cannot see you. If I caught you, trust me, if I caught you at 365, we're both embarrassed and I'm not saying anything.
I see somebody I sort of know at 365, it's worse than seeing like my mortal enemy.
Yeah, you have to just tip your hat and keep it moving. We have to
normalize tipping your hat. Yeah.
You need to be careful in the VaporMax though. I just want to tell you that. You know, they could be They're just, you know, don't run. If you're walking, you're fine, but I just want to, I just don't want you to get shin splints or anything, you know?
I can't run. My knees are super fucked up like an old man. So I walk. That's why I walk for so long. And I actually got a knee injury last year from my, what the fuck are they called? You guys probably know, but those like Gen Z sneakers that are like really tall. That have like a ox on them or something.
Were you wearing No Bull shoes?
Maybe.
What are you talking about?
Are they in my closet?
Are you a CrossFitter? Are you a CrossFitter?
Hold on, she's gonna pull this shit out the closet.
We're getting a worldwide exclusive closet tour.
I have my Gen Z shoes. These bad boys.
Oh yes.
Oh yes. Phoebe, no.
Yes.
You have
I
to
love
ask
them.
Us first.
I love them.
Are they did you get those at the mall?
No, I asked my what are they called?
Those are when you graduate from the big Filas.
Exactly. They're extra Filas. I asked for them for my birthday from my drummer who's dating like a 20-year-old. Woman. So I was like, get me those crazy shoes that Gen Z kids wear. And then I was wearing them and I fell into a pothole in Omaha and like haven't worn them since. I literally got injured. So yeah, thank you for the VaporMax warning. That's very
What's up with the knees though? Is it just from rocking or is it a lifelong issue?
I think this thing happens on my shoes where the outside are completely worn down. So I think I walk super weird.
You walk wrong.
I walk. It's the gay walk. It's the gay stomp.
You're always stomping around town, I've noticed.
Yeah. Well,
that's probably bad for the knees.
I was taking a walk with my drummer on tour, and he was on the phone a couple steps behind me, and I didn't realize he was out of breath, and he was like, "Oh, I'm on a walk with Phoebe, so running." Like I didn't realize I walk like with my head completely down, my feet completely turned out. And my back, like it's very angry. I also have bitchy resting face in such an extreme degree, so I have to do a lot of like emotional labor when people do recognize me in public, where I've been walking like a hunchback, like look furious, and then they catch my eye and I like look like I'm gonna kill somebody, and then I have to be like, oh my god, hi, thank you, like I have to make up for it or something.
I don't know, I think your fans might want to see you in that hunchback angry
state. I was gonna say I think it's cooler if you're mean to them. I mean, they might disagree, but you know.
Yep, do like a Morrissey persona.
Have you ever had to sign somebody's arm and then they get it tatted up Morrissey style?
Ooh, I've written things that people have gotten tattooed before, but I've never signed. I remember for like an auction I signed a guitar and I like misspelled my own name because I was in my own head, so nobody make me do that.
I have a hard time spelling Phoebe as well. The E before the O, what the hell?
It's a hard name.
I know. It makes no sense.
I told Jason the story, but I saw a guy outside of Maru that had the Morrissey tat on his like forearm, like big. And I was like, man, this is hitting very different in 2021 than when you got this in like 2000. And
That's why you can't.
There's no hiding it. It's his entire forearm. Yeah. You know?
When I went to Marilyn Manson's house, he told me that somebody got a... there's a woman who had, he'd done that for her like 150 times and she got it tattooed every time. And I want to know where she is right now.
I mean, let's make a 12 part podcast docuseries about that person and her life.
Yeah.
You know, I have a 12 part podcast docuseries fantasy for myself. It's called my 30s. It's going to be my new path. I'm going to stop making records. There's this band, so I'm in a band with him, obviously, but also he's very close to me, Connor Oberst from Bright Eyes. Mm-hmm. And there was this band, so we share a lot of band members and a bunch of friends. And when he was a teenager, not yet signed, there was this band called N Angle that was coming out around the same time. If you play them in conjunction, it will make you so itchy. It's so crazy. Like... it's like this band just copied everything about Connor except not good lyrics. It's like they're really cringy. It looks like it's like word jumble lyrics, but everything is the same. His brother thought it was him. And there was a minute where they had like a $1 million record contract or something. It's probably not a million, but like an insane amount of money offered to them to basically be like, we can't get that Bright Eyes band, so we'll just get you instead. It's going to make you so angry. Like... And it may, and I want to know where those people are. I want to know like who thought of it. I want to know why it exists.
They're doing A&R probably at Capitol Records now.
Totally. You know, they oh my God.
They definitely got a job in the business somewhere.
So they're called N-Angle.
N-Angle.
Like the letter N.
Yes. No, like N, A-N.
Oh, A-N. Okay.
And if you go back in their records, the one that looks like the Lifted cover, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, literally also the exact same album art as Connor's, or the Fevers and Mirrors cover.
Lifted from Bright Eyes.
Yeah. It's been lifted from Bright Eyes. Yeah. But
don't do that, Jason.
I cannot resist when the fruit is hanging so low. Mm.
Don't do that. Don't set him up like that either. We need to look into that because I feel like that's the band that I feel like I know that name. I've seen Bright Eyes many, many times in my life just because I've been around for that long. But I feel like I feel like that does ring a bell.
Yeah, when you said An Angle, that did sound familiar.
Check it out. Listen to Fevers and Mirrors, and then listen to that fucking record that looks almost exactly like the same album art.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was also like a time. I mean, that's like what like a lot of bands wanted to be Bright Eyes in that time.
Yeah,
a lot of handmade cover art on the 7 inches. You know, a lot of hair in the face on the stage.
Yes,
you know,
deeply.
4-track recordings when you had access to studio, but you just chose not to go.
Totally.
BB, let's talk about when can we talk about when you went to Marilyn Manson's house, please?
Sure.
Because you said that and then
yeah,
I made sure to write it down in my little notepad. Mm-hmm. So walk us through that, please.
Where's the crib?
He was living in Hollywood at the time. And long story short, I tweeted about it because I think that it's been so disturbing reading everybody's accounts of what he's been up to. Mm-hmm. And I only hung out with him for like 3 hours, and I was with adults and a couple of my friends, and his behavior was so gross and weird that it was shocking to me. Like he was like performing a character, and I felt like with my limited experience, I could corroborate those stories just from that. Mm-hmm. You know, like it was super dark. He made tons of fucked up jokes and said the N-word and was like, I was just like, oh wow, this is like a full-grown adult.
What was the guise of your visit? Was it like somebody was friends and you were just going because it's like, this is wild to go to Marilyn Manson's house?
Yeah, my friend's parents work on a TV show that he was going to be a part of, so it was like not only social, it was like him trying to be the best version of himself because he wanted to be a part of this project.
Shit,
and so it was pretty, and I was a huge fan. I was like a big metalhead and I loved like new metal, and sure. It was super, it bummed me out, and it took me a long time to realize how gross it was. I think when you're a kid, you're just like, oh, there's something I didn't get about it, or like he must not actually be like that. It must have been a, you know, mm-hmm. you're trying to trick yourself out of it. When he was like spending the whole time trying to make people uncomfortable, and I like sat in a chair and he was like, I fucked so many chicks in that chair, like just.
Oh, so you were a kid, or you were
I was like 19.
Okay.
I was a fan and I was with my friends, and yeah, it just sucked.
Are you good at separating the art from the artist?
No, because also I think it dated pretty badly, but I also think that's a big conversation to have. I think the dangerous thing when people get called out is like, they're like, well, they always sucked anyway. It's like, that's not the point.
Yeah.
That happened with the Ryan Adams thing where everyone was like, I always fucking hated Ryan Adams anyway. I was like, really? Cause I loved him. Mm-hmm. And that's the point, is that I don't know. People's portrayals of abusers are never nuanced, or I think it's getting better, but it really is nuanced. It's like, you can be fucking John Lennon. You can be whoever, and you contributed to the American Songbook in a real amazing way, and you suck. I think I've always hated them argument is just like,
no, that's a lie,
stupid.
Yeah. I mean,
sometimes it's true, but it's a lot easier to make fun of like Ariel Pink and like music that fucking sucks. Like it's more fun. Yeah. It's more fun to cancel. That's there's nothing more disappointing than like something you love.
That's literally what we said when all that happened. I was like, I thought Ariel Pink, I didn't know anybody cared about Ariel Pink for real. I thought that was like 2010 and it just breezed by us. I didn't realize that was like a thing people really cared about. But we talked about this with Marilyn Manson specifically, because I think it's interesting how swiftly everyone professionally like walked away from him. And I think that is partly because he's not valuable anymore in a monetary way. Whereas like we've talked about the Morgan Wallen thing too. It's like his label dropped him, but he's still they're still making money off of the record that just came out. That's number one for 8 weeks in a row. So it's like I think that those like I just think there's a lot going on with this stuff where it's not quite as simple as we think it is when something bad happens.
No, they fucking knew they were protecting him. It happens. So like Ryan's management knew like just 1,000%. And even if you don't believe it, it's your responsibility to look into it. You know, like you're selling something. So it's just super fake every time anybody like pretends like they didn't know about something.
Yeah.
Or like even Trump getting taken off Twitter. It's like y'all could have done that the whole time. He was just making you a lot of fucking money, and Twitter was in the news every fucking day because of the president.
Mm-hmm. Hey, don't look. We're not going to badmouth Donald Trump on this podcast. So you tread lightly, okay? And Jack too. We stand with Jack and Big Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
That's who we side with. Yeah, that's who we side with.
No, but I agree. I'm glad that your third eye is open, Bridgers. I'm happy to hear that.
Fucking open it. Wake up, sheeple.
Okay, well, fuck Marilyn Manson. And also, you were on the cover of Gay Times, and you were talking about walking like a gay person.
True.
Do those things coincide? Is that something people should buy the magazine to hear more about? Is that what we're doing?
Can't remember if I talk about my walk in Gay Times. But I do think every gay woman has the shared experience of their mom being like, why do you walk like that? Like, you're so loud. Like, it's like, mama.
To be fair, once you showed us those shoes, it all made a lot more sense. You know, I think that's causing the walk to be loud. I don't know if it's.
Oh, they also do this fun, like, like on any floor. Like, just so squeaky.
Those shoes need to go in the garbage.
No.
But they, I mean, you know, you said you come from a nu metal background as well. That shoe fits. What type of nu metal were we growing up on other than Double M?
I mean, like awesome shit like the Mars Volta and stuff.
So not Evanescence. We're talking about Mars Volta.
You know, I never had an Evanescence phase, although I don't know why. Like it was made for me.
It all checks out for you, actually, now that I think about
it.
Luckily, Phoebe, the Evanescence catalog from Wind Up Records is available to stream on Spotify. So just check that out when we finish.
Never too late.
Yeah, it's never too late. It's never too late. I'm not a Mars Volta. Honestly, not for me. I'm an At the Drive-In stan only.
I love At the Drive-In. Same shit to me. I love both.
Yeah, they're pretty much same shit.
At the Drive-In really blew my fucking mind, though, the first time. Like, there was, like, nothing like that. Like, nothing that sounded like that. And also the way they were on
that
stage.
That voice is crazy.
Yeah, it's really crazy. Yeah. I was a big fan, Jason.
Their hair's so
love
poofy.
Cedric. So poofy, so handsome.
You're also on the cover. You're also on the cover of Alternative Press. Let's really talk. That's my Vanity Fair. That's your Vogue, is it not?
Yeah, I used to cut out like alt press pictures and put them on my wall and stuff. So
you're saying I can finally take down my Jimmy Eat World pull out poster and replace it with a Phoebe Bridgers Alternative Press branded poster?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think is it weird to think that you're bigger than, you know, like Bright Eyes or any of these people like that who you kind of grew up idolizing perhaps?
It's news to me.
Well, it's how many times did Bright Eyes play SNL, you know?
Yeah, although I think they were more punk rock than me. Like I think every television show was probably correctly afraid of them trashing something, or they got in trouble for smashing all their instruments on like a really, really ancient stage once. So I think word spread pretty quick.
That's why we like you. That's why we like you, Bridgers. You're a classic sellout, and that's something we can get.
I really am.
You know what I mean?
I know.
We're going on have you done Ellen?
No. Not above it.
Good. Good answer. Because I was going to say,
haven't done Ellen, waiting for the call.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get into that's where it's really hitting is that stay at home mom 3 p.m. hour. That's the true crossover we're looking for. SNL, you got to stay up late. That's tough.
Totally. Yeah, I think, you know, if I were to play an Ellen or something, my next, I don't know why I'm doing this. This is how much I plan ahead. But every time I get like another virtual show offer or something, I'm like, fuck, but I've played that song a million times and you can watch it on YouTube like right now. Like, what's the point of doing it over and over? But the next one I get, I'm going to do it acoustic. I'm going to smash the shit out of, like, an acoustic guitar on, like, 3 p.m. mom television. That's going to be my still selling out, but, you know.
You have some smashing to redeem yourself for? You want to do a proper smash?
Yeah.
I think I want to do it again. It's fun.
I think you should do it every single television performance now until the end of your career is what I think you should make it part of your personal brand.
Yeah, I want to.
Who are some of your all-time favorite smashers?
I mean, the inspiration for it was definitely Bright Eyes, especially because I had Nate Walcott from Bright Eyes playing trumpet. And there's this amazing television performance of them smashing their instruments, and it zooms in really far on Nate smashing his trumpet.
Tough thing to smash. Funny. Very tough thing to
especially
smash.
He's very soft spoken and super sweet, and it took me a long time to understand his sense of humor, where I was like, oh fuck, Nate doesn't like me, and he's actually just like really quiet and thoughtful and really fucking funny. But it's way more funny to watch those people lose it, you know, like he just murdered the trumpet. So
yeah, like Kurt Cobain diving through the drum kit, you know, that you kind of expect it. But, you know, yeah, Bright Eyes, exactly. You know, singing a tear-jerking ballad and then smashing a trumpet.
It's the best.
That's true punk right there.
Exactly.
That is. We've talked about actually all of your quarantine performances. I feel like you've been quite prolific in the pre-tape. I think the pre-tape should maybe stick around. I think people have done such a good job and made it so interesting. And I watch a lot of late night performances on YouTube from some of my favorite bands, like the Gin Blossoms and the Goo Goo Dolls. and you know, it's just, it is a little one note on the stage the whole time, but are those productions, I think people might not, they're really involved. Like, that's a lot of work, what you're doing.
I will never be able to relinquish this amount of control. There's nothing scarier than playing late night. And it's just like, everybody's so sweet. I've only had great experiences, but it's still like live. It's not your sound person. When I'm nervous, my top of my range and the bottom of my range just quit. Like, there was this one time we were playing Seth Meyers with Boy Genius, and I hit this big note, and instead it was like a really loud yodel. It was just mortifying. And so getting to hear mixes back and have the freedom to, like, I don't know, to do one-shot things in a haunted theater, like, it's just more interesting. It's also... If I move at all on stage, I'll fuck up. So I have to, I have to stand completely still on normal late night and just like sing and look insane.
I think there's merits to both, but as the performer, I could imagine liking the pre-tape thing a lot more for control.
Yeah, it's just like doing this podcast versus doing a radio show. You know, I'm going to edit this and make us all sound as good and smart as possible. Because why wouldn't you?
Chill. Don't give away the sauce like that, bro. Come on. They think I got... They call me One Take Chris. Don't do this. Don't ruin my mystique.
I like to be good and smart as much as possible.
The real question, though, and a question I have, who's paying for this shit? Is the label paying? Is James Corden coming out of his fat Gucci pockets and laying down some Skrilla? Or, like, how is this happening? Like, who's paying
label.
For this? Because it's not cheap.
It's the label. And some of it's pretty archaic, like... Especially with showing up and playing late night, like they'll make your label pay like $20,000 for you to show up and play their show.
What?
That they're making a killing on.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like it's invaluable promotion. And so now and I used to be like, fuck that or whatever. And then now doing it from home, I'm like, please give me $20,000 so I can rent out this theater that's unionized and all the staff can work it. And you know what I mean? Like,
oh,
it
awesome.
Does cost money. Like, there's so much production value involved. Like, please let me get a lighting person and please let me. I thought I had a cheap idea, which was to play and sing from my bed and like green screen into Carnegie Hall. That I did for Corden.
Damn.
And I did it for Corden, and it was like, it's one of my favorite ones, but I was like, I was like, the label's gonna love this. It's gonna be super cheap. And they were like, that costs so much fucking money. Like, you know what a green screen studio during COVID costs?
Who did you do the car one for where you're like driving in circles?
That was James Corden. Yeah. Again.
Damn, Corden loves your ass. Damn.
Yeah, I was on twice.
Must be nice.
Yeah, it was super fun. And I love crews like that because they had a lot of ideas. Like, I was like, I'm going to do circles. And that was actually Connor's idea. he was like, you should drive around and do like tricks in your car. I was like, I can't do that. But
tricks.
But they were like,
you're a stunt driver, right?
Yeah, but they just edited in very obvious stunts. Like they were, I love that. And same with Colbert. Like when Better Oblivion played Colbert, we were like, maybe it should be all VHS. And they were like, got it. Yes. And then worked on this whole thing. I love that. I love when somebody just like takes your idea and flies with it.
Mm-hmm. What's your name,
kid? Yeah, I love when somebody takes my idea. Yeah, I love when somebody takes my idea and then makes the reality while I sit around and watch. That's my favorite.
Exactly.
That's what Jason does three times a week with this podcast. So it's really nice to live that reality.
Yeah. Are you getting better with your delegation as you become more experienced?
Yeah.
I think so. There's nothing worse than that feeling of being like, I can relax and leave the room because I explained what I wanted and and they're going to do it. And then you come back and it's all fucked up and you're like, I can never have a moment of peace. Yeah.
Have you ever been envious of when, you know, a band just walks off stage because they have bad sound issues or they just say like, fuck this and just leave like Oasis style or something?
I would do that. There was one time I played, like we were talking about the Pretty Woman situation. I played like a tech conference or something and they paid me too much money and it was a block away from the venue I was playing that night. I was like, no problem. And people were screaming over me and it was just me and an acoustic guitar. Marshall was supposed to be singing with me and he just played HQ on his phone. Do you remember that game?
Yeah.
While we were singing, he played HQ because it was so... And I think I even said, like, fuck you guys at the end of the set. But I wanted to play the whole way because otherwise you don't get paid.
Sure.
But there have been times where you're just being overpowered and you're like, but I just think about, you know, who am I really sticking it to? You know, I think if I was at my own show and somebody was being shitty or something, I think I would walk away. But if you're like opening for someone or something, it just kind of comes with it. People being super disrespectful or like wasted.
Yeah, you just have to think about that check, hitting that Wells Fargo business,
getting that $100 check.
That's all we we know the Phoebe Bridgers City National account is fucking booming right now. no question
that Spotify money. Woo!
Whoa! Don't talk about the Spotify and how much money they pay their artists. It's obviously a lot.
We can relate, okay?
So, what do you are you investing this money? You know, there's a lot of talk about Bitcoin and stocks and stonks and NFTs and how are we investing the bag?
I have a guy.
Good
answer.
I
have a guy.
Okay.
I'm just like I'm not gonna be stock market GF. I never will be.
But I mean, but you are investing it. You're not just letting it sit in the bank account for a rainy day. You are playing.
I don't think so. But I have a lot of. I grew up with no money, and so until I was like 20, just was like overdrawing my bank account constantly. So I have this weird like bank account anxiety.
Sure.
And I remember the first time I was financially secure, just being like, "Oh shit!" Like. Money actually does buy happiness. Like it just means that I can drive across town and not worry about my car breaking down. I can do whatever I want. I could go on a road trip by myself right now. I think part of it's just moving out of, you know, your parents' house or whatever, but it was so dark to me. I was like, oh wow, just I have opportunities now and time, and I'm not consumed by a survival instinct.
You can finally relax.
Yeah, but I still have this residual looking at my bank statements anxiety that makes no sense.
Like you're afraid to do it?
Yeah, like I don't want to think about it ever.
She doesn't check the price tag or the balance is what she's saying.
I watch my business manager like listen to this and be like, oh man, I could just fuck this person over. Like, wow.
So when you're at Nobu in Malibu and they bring the check, you just hand them the card before just take it.
I mean, what's the point of looking at it?
You're goddamn right.
You got to pay
also,
for it
anyway.
Also, there's
nothing, no matter where I am, and this is a huge privilege, but no matter where I am, if full-grown adults are arguing about who ordered what, I'm out. I'm just like, I also don't want to know which friends of mine are assholes like that, so I'm just, I'm a big, like, I would way rather pay for something than talk to anybody ever.
Ripped from my mouth. I've said this so many times. Fuck Venmo. Fuck these cheap Gen Z nerds being like, you owe me $3.26 for a coffee. Fuck out of here with that.
Yeah.
We're off that.
It's always my rich friends, too. Like, it's always, like, it's always the rich kids.
Of course. Well, that's how they stay rich. You might learn that the hard way.
Totally. <Yeah. laughs> Phoebe Bridgers Republican era.
Well.
Fiscally conservative era.
Yeah, I'm not going to rule it out. Phoebe Bridgers playing a fundraiser for, wait, Ronald Reagan? It says, yeah. This is so yep. weird. What have you splashed out on, though? Have you copped a crib? Like real shit. Like, did you get the G-Wagon? Like, what are we talking about?
I do have a Tesla now.
Which is oh, like, that's light. That's light work. Jason's got a light. Tesla. He's fucking broke.
Which Tesla?
I'm pretty moderate. I have a Model Y.
The Y is a great one. I want to get the Y next.
See, I love classic. It. It changed my life. Also, I didn't realize how much just daily sexual harassment you get at gas stations. Whether it's even just someone staring at you for like the entire time you're filling your gas tank. Like, there's so much I don't miss, especially during COVID.
Unfortunately, Jason, I can't really relate to that one, but I see your point.
Yeah,
I
do the sexual harassing at the gas station.
Yeah, totally. I've never seen Jason get catcalled at the sit-go, but I'm sure it could happen.
But I've been driving the same. I'm a weirdo, and also I'm a weirdo. Wow, kill me. I've been on tour so long that I don't. There's so much of my life that I hadn't taken care of, like a real adult.
Yeah.
Again, like the no cooking thing. I think that also comes from traveling and having someone's full time job to bring you snacks and feed you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just so many, like, in so many ways, I grew up really fast, and in so many ways, I'm so stunted. And so I'd had the same apartment and the same Prius since I was like 18. And just this year I moved and I got a new car.
What?
And
just this year?
Yes. Yes. Just this year.
That's how busy she's been. She hasn't even had time to move.
Yeah. And I still like, I'm in a house with no furniture.
It looks great.
But thank you. This is my one chair that I bought from the people who sold it to me. So, so yeah, I was just like, you know, can what? I just have
throw
some of your shit?
In.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Just throw it I in. Just,
yeah, I couldn't tell. I mean, I really like the place, but I also, the lady was such a great interior decorator that I was like, fuck, do I like this house or do I just like her products? Like, do I like her shit?
So have you been picking up some cooking now that you have the time?
Nope.
Okay.
Not at all. Smart. I went through like a brief, I was making like almond milk in the first couple weeks of COVID.
Oh, honey.
And it's a great thing to have under your belt, but mm-hmm. I prefer oat for coffee and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't like become like granular, horrible.
So have you been doing like delivery takeout food? Are you hitting Burger Lords? What's going on?
See, y'all, Burger Lords is like my favorite restaurant. I've been talking to them about like when Travis Scott did the McDonald's meal, I was like, can we please do a Phoebe Bridgers meal? And then I sent, we'd been talking about it for a long time, and I sent your meal to my manager, and he was like, fuck, breakfast was a good call. Like, we were thinking about what to do, and I was like, what about black burger buns? And the Burger Lords guy was like, those suck. Don't make us do that. So I was trying to think of ideas, but yeah, great call.
Well, you know, Phoebe, after this, we can talk offline, and I'm a master of recipe development. We can get it popping.
Sweet.
Yeah. We need to find out what your tastes are, like which way you lean, you know, but I like Burger Lords too. Cause I hate Impossible and I hate, Beyond. It's gross. I want something made out of vegetables.
I don't mind Impossible or Beyond stuff, but I immediately feel like I smoked a pack of Marlboro Lights. And Burger Lord's just, it's like the perfect thing.
It makes you feel like you'd shoot some Nicorette instead.
Yeah. I love a mush burger. Like, always have.
Are you able to cut the line at Cookbook? Like, should we call you? Or is it something that you don't have access?
It's actually a good question.
You're not cutting the line at Cookbook.
I'm like I've gotten my Cookbook regime. What am I talking about? I can't hear words anymore.
Regalia.
But I've gotten it down where I just go at off times. I would never go on a weekend, but their coffee is like one that it makes you feel like you're going to have a fucking heart attack in the best way.
It gets you sprung.
I have some in front of me right now. It gets you sprung. And I,
what?
Yeah. And
you're saying you're buying beans? beans? What is the brand?
No, they're hot coffee.
Just like a cup of drip.
Oh, a cup of Joe.
It's the best drip coffee. Because I'm not really a latte guy. I will do it at a place I'm unsure of. Mm-hmm. Like oat milk latte, but it's like a meal. And Cookbook Coffee, it's like cowboy coffee. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. dirty.
It's motherfucking mud. We get it.
It's mud. It's a cup of mud. Yeah.
We get it.
Yeah.
We're
going to sample that.
Let me get a cup of mud. Rustle me up a cup of mud and let me get some of those flowers over there in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have any yuzu butter?
The Jujusta shit is changing my life. Like, they changed ownership. I'm all for it. They got some good, like, pastries and stuff now.
Okay.
All about it.
Well, you said you were used to touring and playing all these shows and having the food brought to you. And now, you know, now that you don't have access to that, what green room foods are you missing?
What is my green room? My green room looks like a sober person's fridge. It's like, actually, Matt from the National came backstage at a Julian Baker, or like Julian Baker. It was a Boy Genius show, but was like, is this is this a dry backstage? I was like, oh no, we all just forgot about alcohol. We used to have like a competition of who could get into their pajamas faster after the show. So you got like your Mountain Valley, your hummus. Mm-hmm. If it's Sabra, it's a bad night. Like some hummus, some like, you know.
So the Sabra is like your yellow M&Ms. If you see the Sabra, you know, the whole thing's going to be fucked.
You're flipping the table over if you see the Sabra.
Totally. Yeah.
Fuck this. I'm not going on stage until we have some Hope avocado spicy hummus in here, and we're going to have a problem until we do.
You need some bitchin' sauce.
Bitchin' sauce is good, but my favorite one is, it's got the like little garlic character on mm-hmm. the front of it. You can get it at Lassen's and Erewhon.
It has like a Greek name.
So good. Yeah,
it's actually cheaper than you realize.
Yeah, it's great.
So you're saying you just get the fireball out of the mini bar at the hotel then? You don't demand the promoter get it for you?
Yeah, I mean, weirdly, for vocals lately, for all the weird stuff I've been doing, a nice shot of whiskey is like all you need. Like, I used to do all these warm-ups and fuck that. Like,
you really are a cowboy. Just give me a shot of whiskey.
Let me get two fingers of Jim Beam
for my supper.
No, Jim Beam won't do shit. It's about Woodford Reserve. It's about fucking like Tony gets this. My producer gets this fancy like Japanese whiskey, mm-hmm. and I like don't ever drink ever for fun. There's like one night a year where I'll like. Where someone is like, remember when you got super wasted off like two glasses of wine?
Were you always no drinking?
I was straight edge in high school. And then I think
let's fucking go.
Yeah.
How did we not know that? I didn't know you were an Earth Crisis fan like us. That's cool. Good to know that Phoebe Bridgers confirmed Earth Crisis listener. Thank you for
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I loved like, you know, Me Without You and like kind of like that squad was so great. But yeah,
we're gonna breeze past the Me Without You and just go with the Earth Crisis. Yeah, that's great. Good for you. You know, glad to know that.
Yeah,
you know, we all have diverse tastes. You know, mm-hmm. wide ranging.
And then I kind of just was like, well, why? Like, why am I even clinging to this anymore? It makes no sense. It was kind of accidental too. I think I just got into my mid teens and people were like, when you drink for the first time, like, do it with me. Or like, people stopped offering mm-hmm. me weed. People stopped, and then it was just. Like habit. And then when I graduated and, you know, in young adulthood was like, do I like this? And I don't. Mm-hmm. Although I did go through a super brief period of ordering only white Russians. So all my friends would be at Cha Cha Lounge and I'd be across the street at Red Lion like, yo, they don't have creamer there. Bye.
You know what? I absolutely love a white Russian. If you ever drink one again, the Prince in Koreatown has by far the greatest white Russian in Los Angeles.
I can taste it right now. Like, that's what's fun about it. It's like such a...
they microplane a little fresh nutmeg on top. You know, it really opens
No way.
Up. Oh, yeah, dead ass.
No way. That's awesome.
It opens it up.
Okay, well, thank God. So you never had that? You never had a problem with prescription pills or anything like that?
I definitely did. Like, I was straight edge, but I was also prescribed fucking dexedrine in high school.
Well, I don't know what that does.
Which is,
let's go. Were you snorting it, though, or just regular?
No, just regular.
It's an upper, TJ.
And it was those little... Yeah, it's like old Ritalin. They talk about it in fucking Midnight Cowboy. It's that old.
I could see that for you. Well, are you smoking grass?
Mm-mm. I hate weed. Can't. Mm-hmm. I hate it. Every time I'm like, I'm chill. I like it. And then I'll smoke a little bit. And like halfway through even inhaling a little bit, I'm like, regret, regret, regret. I want to fast forward through this. And I, oh my God, speaking of Erewhon, it's come up a lot. But I was playing a show and I had like an interview before the show. And we had stopped at Erewhon because it was like, it was past Calabasas or something. And I was like, let's stop at Erewhon. Mm-hmm. Got some snacks.
I know that location.
And of course, it's California. So I ate like a package of Erewhon cookies. And then I did this interview. And halfway through, I was like, I have dry mouth. Am I having a panic attack? And I never drink or do anything before shows. It just is, I'll get super paranoid. Mm-hmm. So, it doesn't like relax me at all. So I like shaking hands, like look at this package, and I had dosed myself. It was like CBD, quote unquote, but it had trace THC in it. And the serving size was like one and I'd had eight. So I had like, it was technically CBD, but to make it work, it had to have a little THC in it. And sure. I had a panic attack and my mom took a photo of me with like a family friend that night. And my eyes are like bloodshot red. I have like no tolerance whatsoever.
So you overdosed on CBD cookies.
I overdosed on Erewhon.
I mean, that's a sign of success, my friend.
Yeah, totally.
All right, Bridgers. Thank you so much for potting with us.
Yeah.
Phoebe, thank you for joining us.
Did you have any questions for us before we leave you?
No.
Okay.
No, thanks.
You're welcome.
You know, thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. Good luck with the Grammy Awards. They're coming soon. I know you're nominated.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, that's crazy.
So, you know, we'll be cheering along from home for the virtual ceremony, which I can't wait to watch on Zoom.
Yeah, me too. Awesome.
Bye.
Wait.
Yeah.
Off the record.
Yes.
Can we?
Of course.
Oh my God.
Well, if you want, we can stop recording.
Yes.
Okay. I'll stop recording.
Okay.